In a world where investors seek maximum returns at minimum risk, comes a madman, a money man, a machine man. The Mad Money Machine, coming to theaters near you.
It takes between 20 and 800 years of monitoring performance to statistically prove that a money manager is skillful and not just lucky. Mad Money Machine. Show 43. Mad Money Machine. Thursday, October 12th. Hello, thank you so very much for downloading this show. I'm Paul Douglas Boyer, and as long as you keep listening, I'll keep doing the Mad Money Machine. Coming up on this show, I'm going to talk about the article that appeared in Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine entitled Booyah, the Manic Universe of Jim Cramer. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Podcast Expo. I'll tell you my experience hooking up an Xbox 360 with the Media Center, and I've got a tool in the crib for you.
The Mad Money Machine, guaranteed to make you a better investor or your money back.
This is going to sound like a rant, but it isn't. A little snippet now from the Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine out of that article. Now, the cover says, Jim Cramer is crazy. Then it continues, like a fox. Then it says, and I'm not sure how to read this properly, it says, can you believe this guy? Or should I read it, can you believe this guy? Or, can you believe this guy? Well, way down deep in the article, it says, it's all but impossible to get a handle on the success of Cramer's Mad Money picks. CNBC claims that his recommendations did better than the S&P 500. Yeah, well, big deal. But there are problems with his methodology. Based on the results of his Action Alerts Plus service at realmoney.com, Cramer's relative performance has slipped dramatically since he left his hedge fund. From inception, at the beginning of 2002 through July, his Action Alerts Plus picks returned a cumulative 15%, according to thestreet.com. Over the same period, the S&P 500 gained 20%. In the first 7 months of 2006, Cramer was down 7%, while the S&P gained 3%. In fairness, Cramer's performance has been hampered by what he calls crippling trading restrictions, including an inability to sell stocks short. The hedge fund was able to short, says Cramer, and I was very good at short selling. Well, now, you're saying you didn't perform well because you didn't do short selling. Well, what is it you're telling us to do on your TV show? You never said anything on your TV show about short selling. A show or two ago, I mentioned how we should short sell your stock picks. Maybe that would be a winning portfolio. Oh, it's kind of cruel to pick on a guy who can't respond back to me. You know, he's not going to go on his show and say, Paul Douglas Boyer from the Mad Money Machine is wrong about my stock picking performance. All right, let's talk TV for just a second, if you don't mind. You ever watch Lost? Well, I'm watching the first couple of episodes this third season now. Are they ever going to resolve anything on that show? You've got to be very patient to watch Lost. Well, do you remember a season two where they kept pushing that button every 108 minutes? Well, think about me. Every single night this year, every weeknight, with few exceptions. I have gone in and updated the Cramer portfolio and the ETF portfolio in the spreadsheet. Then I copy and paste that into Dreamweaver, and then I copy and paste that into WordPress and submit that to the website. That's the portfolio smackdown. Yes, I do it manually, and I do it every evening. And I feel like I'm trapped in season two of Lost. And speaking of the portfolio smackdown, let's take a look at it right now, shall we? The Cramer portfolio as of, near the end of the day on Thursday, October 12th, is down 2%. ETF portfolio is up 12.5%. 12.6 to be exact. The winner in Cramer's picks, well, we sold General Motors this past week after Jim Cramer mentioned on his Real Money radio show. He was upset with the General Motors not doing the merger deal. JCPenney is up 13.6%, and Sears Holding is up 11% since we bought those in the portfolio. Pepsi, flat. Citigroup, 1.2%. Halliburton is down 20%. Man, do you remember when he was hot on that stock, Halliburton? He talked about the spinoff with KBR or whatever it is. He said Halliburton would go to $100 a share. Well, that was before the split. Now he would say it would go to $50 a share, but it is currently at $27.69 a share. Well, a couple shows ago, I talked to you about the Xbox and how it might compare to Apple's iTV product that they're coming out with early next year. And I was all puffed up about how the Xbox could play media center files, videos, you know, from your computer. And so I went out and bought one. I bought an Xbox 360. Brought it home, plugged it in. Make a long story short, I wanted to play videos from my computer onto my family room TV. Went through all the setup. Come to find out, I had to update the Windows Media Center software on my PC. This is the PC I use to record this show now. So I said, well, all right, I'll update the Windows Media Center software. Downloaded it, updated it. And I went over to the Xbox and tried to play a file, and it said, this file type not recognized. And I thought, oh, crap, I didn't think about that. And then I went back to my PC, and it was locked up. And do you know how your heart skips a few beats when your computer goes blue screen on you, or it freezes, and I hit Control-Alt-Delete and nothing happens, and I'm starting to breathe a little faster. The heart skipped a beat, yeah, but it's racing a little faster now. So I hard reset the computer by hitting the power switch for 10 seconds or more. It boots up fine. It runs for about 5 minutes and then locks up again. Just completely locks up. Oh my gosh. I can't tell you what a feeling of loss that is. I tried to use the system restore tool to go back to a previous date. Tried to go in and quickly uninstall that Media Center stuff. And after several tries of rebooting and having the thing lock up again, and I'm holding my breath and thinking, how am I going to restore this machine? This has my life on it. It somehow, some way, finally, it has come back to life. It's breathing again. It's got a pulse. It's in stable condition. And now I've got an Xbox 360 sitting in my family room with nothing to do. Hey, looks like I'll be buying an Apple iTV next year. I know you Apple heads are loving that. So you remember Jay's phone call? Well, of course you don't. Well, I'll play it and a response I got.
Hey, my name is Jay. I'm about 14. I'm really interested in stocks. And I I love your podcast. I'm in high school right now, and if there's any way you could let me know a good place to get started with stocks, I have a little over $100, and I'm trying to get started, and I read online that you can start with pretty much any amount of dollars. If you could tell me a good place to get started and how to get into the stock market, that'd be great. Thanks, I appreciate it.
Paul, you had a young kid on that was requesting the name of somewhere he can invest $100 or less. If he goes on the web to Sogo Invest, S-O-G-O Invest.com, they're one of the better for low budget. They do the first 90 days, it's only a dollar a trade. So his commission fee for that $100 would be a dollar, and they'll allow for auto investment, which gives you partial shares. So his $100, if he even wanted Berkshire Hathaway, he would get a percentage of that via the auto invest. They allow you to transfer over from your bank account directly. You don't have to wire the money, and they're rather helpful, and it's a pretty informative. It allows research. It's a basic site, but it will help him. Again, it's Sogo Invest, SOGOINVEST.com. And they are really reasonable. The minimum is $100, but that $100, that dollar commission is the best I've seen. And I use them and know that they're good, so it's more than an opinion. Love your show. I'm local in Washington, D.C. I listen to it every time it updates. Keep it going. Thanks.
Ah, thank you, but you didn't mention your name, so I wonder if you're Mr. Sogo. Just kidding. And if you go out to the website, you'll see comments from Foodfish, Foofish, who says Trade King and ShareBuilder are ways to go, and Amster says Folio FN is a way to go. So there's some pointers for things to look at. There's another comment out there from VanSiwa1, who says, I enjoyed your podcast. One comment in defense of Kramer. Kramer makes it clear that what he is talking about on his show is strictly about a small percentage of discretionary and speculative money. This is gambling money that one could afford to lose. Definitely not the core money you have to count on in retirement. He does not promote any investment products like mutual funds or insurance. Well, other than his books and website. That's why he calls it mad money. If nothing else, it gets people who would otherwise be so bored, disinterested, and afraid that they may choose not to participate in savings plans like 401ks or IRAs, or simply leave money in money markets or CDs. At least it encourages people to take an interest in controlling their financial future. I don't watch the show often, but it does contain a certain entertainment value. But every once in a while, I think he needs to reiterate that. Because I'm absolutely sure that people are watching it and thinking this is the way to invest their money. Oh, a little bit more now about my experiences at the Podcast Expo. I met Don Lewis, who does the Big Break podcast out of Charleston, South Carolina. I've been to Charleston, South Carolina. Lovely place. Good seafood. You should subscribe to the Big Break Podcast. Here's a promo.
This week on the Big Break Music Podcast, you can hear the music and our interview with PodSafe music artist Lisa Dames as we explore her album, No One Like Me.
'Cause it could have been me up on that screen or my face on the cover of Vogue magazine.
Hear Lisa Dames as she reveals the intimate and emotional story behind her songs.
And then we went up into the studio, and he played it for me on the piano, and I just started crying. It's so hard to sing the song because I have to hold back so much, because if I don't hold back, I will start crying as I'm singing that song.
And we get a behind-the-scenes look into the making of her chart-climbing single, Just Another Day. And we get to hear about the fun times as well.
Each time we did it, it would just get a little bit racier and a little bit racier and a little bit racier.
You don't know how close you can.
So check it out by going to thebigbreakpodcast.com or search for The Big Break in iTunes. Big Break Podcast and Lisa Daines.
Don Lewis is an absolute guru at using Adobe Audition audio processing software. He gave me some tips. It was worth the whole trip going there just to get the tips from Don Lewis. Thanks, Don. Also at the Podcast Expo, I ran into Frank Barnico. Remember him? He was the one that really thought the podcast awards, who cares? Went to his moderated panel discussion about advertising and podcasting. And I got to talk to him afterwards, and he pulled out a microphone and interviewed me. And here's what I had to say. I do the Mad Money Machine podcast at madmoneymachine.com. You know, I started out as a big fan site for Jim Cramer back in December. So I was into investing in a big way. I had come into a little bit of money. I needed to figure out how to invest it. Cramer's show had just started, and this was my world into a window into investing, is to watch his show and buy his stocks. And so I wanted to podcast this. In December, there weren't a whole lot of business podcasts really in iTunes. I wanted to follow Jim's picks and see how well he performed. The idea was I was going to pick stocks that he said to buy and match them against a broadly diversified portfolio of index funds. And I would show people how much more money you would make investing in Cramer's picks than just a vanilla set of index funds. And as it turns out, exactly the opposite has happened. And the index fund is up about 10%, and Cramer's fund is below zero.
What's been the response?
When I started the show, I told myself, Cramer has an audience of about 250,000 or so per show. And I thought, if I could get a tenth of 1% of his audience, that would be fantastic. 250 people listening to me. And by the time my second show came out, I had already had 1,000 downloads of the first show. And now I'm up into about 3,500-4,000 per episode.
Entertainment and celebrity interviews have been described as most popular kind of podcasts. Business and finance way down the list. You're kind of in between both, aren't you?
I am. I do mix up my show. I put a lot of music in it to reach the Cramer demographic. It's hard rock music a lot of times. I mix it up with fun gimmicks like Guru Roulette and Tools in the Crib and just a lot of fun stuff. For example, last show, my tool in the crib was How to Fold a Shirt from YouTube.
So you're not just talking about stocks.
Well, that's right. I wouldn't be able to reach as large an audience, I don't think, if I just talked about stocks. But now I'm also talking about other investing philosophies other than just buying individual stocks, but buying entire index funds and just, you know, it's an approach to investing where you don't really have to think a lot about what you're doing, but you can make a lot of money. Excuse me, you can make a relatively good amount of money with a relatively small amount of risk.
Has your own investing style changed?
I have sold most all of my individual stocks, and I have put them all into the index funds that I really believe is the right approach. And, you know, you can buy stocks for the fun of it and just have fun researching companies and things, but if you're trying to beat the market, I think academic studies have shown it can't be done.
You're doing a podcast. Do you do anything else in print?
Well, I have the blog at madmoneymachine.com, and so there are topics that I cover on the blog that don't make it into the podcast, you know, long lists and tables that wouldn't make sense to put into a podcast. And then also there is the comparison between Cramer's picks that I picked and then the broad portfolio of ETFs.
Why do a podcast? Are you a repressed disc jockey?
Well, like I said, back in December, there weren't as many business podcasts for the investor at the time. And so now the question is, now that there are a lot of investing podcasts, do I keep going or do I let the professionals take it?
And the answer is?
To be determined. The Podcast Expo that I'm at this week has really helped motivate me. I can see the future of podcasting is growing exponentially, and I'd love to be a part of that, and I hope I can be.
The darn thing takes work and time, and that's what you're looking at?
It takes work and time, and I have a day job, which I want to devote my passion to that as well. And I don't want to settle for a second-best podcast. The podcast I do, my listeners have commented on the quality of it, and they appreciate that. Some people have said they think it's the best sound quality show on iTunes.
How long is your show?
I try to get it at 30 minutes. I think that's a good commute time. People pop it in when they're driving to work, and it's once a week, and usually comes out late Thursdays. And I have a lot of fun with it.
How much time does it take you to do the show?
That's the incredible part for me. It takes me about 14 hours per show to put it together the way I want it to be.
What's so difficult? You sit down, you talk for 30 minutes, to hit save as, and load it up to the FTP site, and you're done, right?
That's right. That's what everybody asks me. What in the world could take you 14 hours to do a 30-minute show? And it's research, because I try to look at the past performance of the stock histories, and then I try to find the music that's appropriate to put in the show, putting it together, editing it, post-production, show notes, uploading. It takes a lot of time. Well, you should go out and check out Frank's blog, blogs.marketwatch.com/Barnako, B-A-R-N-A-K-O. That guy heckling me in the background saying he knows how that goes, talking about getting the show out at a certain time. That was Jay Selman of Grape Radio, which won the award there for best podcast overall. Got to talk with Jay a little bit, and boy, they've got a good thing going there, too. And speaking of appropriate music, then. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. A 12-step program for active investors. Step 9, history. My name is Paul, and I'm an active investor. I suppose every investor has to go through this process. One late night, I was reading a book about investing. The quiet was deep. Then I realized, as I closed my eyes, that I could find hope in my history. And now I've traveled too far to change my mind. I've unraveled the mystery. At first, I didn't know quite what it was until I did my time. Only a good understanding of the long-term historical risk and return of various indexes will enable investors to know how to allocate their investments in accordance with their personal risk capacity. Over the 78-year period the data is available, small value has outperformed the S&P 500 and large-cap growth funds. It's interesting to note that over the 48-year period, emerging market public equities outperformed venture capital and at a lower risk level. Gold and silver are also interesting, reinforcing the idea that they have lots of risk and returns pretty close to T-bills and bonds. In addition to the long-term risk and returns of indexes, the third input used to create optimal portfolios is cross-correlation. Cross-correlation refers to the extent to which performances of different asset classes move in relation to each other. The lower the correlation among different indexes in a portfolio, the greater the diversification, which means lower volatility of returns. If you're confused about the expected returns on your investments, if you don't know your history, we're here to rescue you. We're here to bring you home.
Is there somewhere you can rescue me?
And there really weren't that many people around, but I got talking to this guy who does a podcast, Mad Money Machine, which sort of comments on Jim Cramer's Mad Money and investment techniques and stuff. And I had a great conversation with the guy, a really smart guy. Was a really good conversation. You know when you have someone that's on your wavelength and that you can communicate with, that was a great experience.
That was Frank Edward Nora, who does the Overnightscape podcast and has been doing it for over 560 shows. He told me that he's been doing a podcast since before there was a podcast. He actually had a website and just, you know, had you download his files, the MP3 files, directly from his website before there was a way to subscribe to them. He thought the term, instead of calling it podcast, would be new time radio, you know, as opposed to old time radio. Well, thanks, Frank, for the kind remarks. That was a fun conversation. Like to talk to you again sometime, especially now that I found out that you're a big Steely Dan fan. It's time for a tool in the crib. Hey, interested in the hot IPO market? 123Jump. 123Jump.com. IPOHome.com. And if you really want the inside scoop, used to be only the investing professionals got to see the actual roadshow of the IPO. Now you too can get on the inside at RetailRoadshow.com. Watch a video of the actual retail roadshows that they present to the investors before a company goes IPO. And that, my friends, is all I'm going to say about IPOs at this time. Like all the other tools I've given you so far, these three are free. You want to find some hope in your history? Well, dudes, and the three of you ladies listening, you got to get a copy of Index Funds, a 12-step program for active investors. You know, this show is sponsored by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. So first of all, go to the website. Second of all, go to Amazon.com and buy a copy of this book. And I'm going to give one away on the next show. Here's how you can win a copy. Now, if you win a copy and you've already bought a copy, well, then send the extra one off to Jim Cramer. He needs to read this book and talk about it on his TV show and on his radio show. Here's how we're going to play it this time. The Portfolio Smackdown is getting a little stale. All the Cramer picks in there, they're kind of old, haven't changed them around, and they're not going anywhere. So I want you to tell me, first of all, what blue chip, brand name blue chip stock we should replace a GM with in the Cramer portfolio, and then any other suggestions you have for Cramer featured stocks that we should buy and what stocks to sell in there. Have a look at madmoneymachine.com/portfolios to see what stocks are owned in that portfolio. So how do you win? Go out to madmoneymachine.com. If you're not registered yet, just register, put your email address in. I won't spam you to death, maybe five a year. And then add a comment into the show notes of this show, show 43, and tell me what stocks to buy for the Portfolio Smackdown. These have to be Cramer's hot stocks. On the next show, then, I will pick one of you at random, and I'll send you a copy of this fantastic book. Hey, and this just spliced into the giveaway. If you call in your answer to this question at 206-734-4763, I'll enter your name twice into the drawing to win the book. And speaking of the Portfolio Smackdown, there's a couple other things I've been wanting to talk about for a long time, but have just forgotten to talk about. Out at the Portfolio Smackdown page, down at the bottom of that table, I have two of Cramer's indexes that he has created. Back in June 7th, he created something called the Speculative Index, the Cramer Speculative Index. He said at that time, speculative stocks are in a sector of their own. They're radically underperforming. Since May 11th, my speculative index is down more than 15%. When the speculative index is cheap, that's when we want to start to get in, Cramer said. He said, you should speculate. It's where the big money comes from, but you have to do it carefully and methodically because it's a risky business. You should have a few speculative stocks, he added. You need to be diversified when speculating also. It should only take up a fifth of your portfolio. Well, I hope he means a fifth of your discretionary portfolio, which is a tiny portion indeed. Since that time, I've been tracking all the stocks in the Cramer Speculative Index, and they're down 17% even since then. Things like Ivanhoe Energy down 48%. Eurozinc Mining, though, is up 21%. Sienna down 18%. Crystallex down 29%. And then the other index on July 27th, he said, through thick and thin, luxury spending has been the one thing that has held up. This market is powered by luxury goods. He said if high-end consumers stop spending, the economy could be in for a recession. So in order to try and track what the market thought, he identified certain key stocks levered to luxury spending, which he put into an index. Coach, Polo, Ralph Lauren, Tiffany, Four Seasons, etc. He said, how's it been holding up so far? The benchmark index is 100 and now it's at 96. He noted that 96 wasn't terrible, but it was worth looking at. He said the index is telling us about seriously hard times ahead for the economy. So stay diversified and get defensive. Well, he was worried about that luxury index going down and us and our economy headed for hard times and in recession. And of course, it's up 18% since that time. So I guess the lesson is be a little careful when you follow somebody else's predictions. Well, I suppose you have arrived at your location now, whether it's your home or your office. So I will say sayonara. This has been Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes knowing your history to make a mad money machine. And go out to madmoneymachine.com and read all the disclaimers that you need to read about this show. And most importantly, visit our sponsor, Index Funds Advisors at ifa.com. Helping investors succeed by matching people with portfolios. I'll leave you now, just in case you're not at your destination, with one of the number one songs out of GarageBand.com. It's Silver Plated by Jeff Bird. Hey, thank you so very much for listening. And don't forget to enter the contest out at madmoneymachine.com. I'll see you next time.